Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. These are such important words. And we've been waiting to proclaim them for long weeks now. And I have to say, we've never announced them in quite this way before. Like the resurrection itself, this is totally new territory. I was thinking about Easter, thinking back over the years, and remembering the importance of this day in my life and in our family, and I know we all have our Easter memories. Easter was always a time when there were new clothes. Susan remembers hats and white gloves from her early childhood. I remembered new shirt and shoes and clip-on ties when I was little, and even a baby blue leisure suit from some Easter in the 1970s, and I think that's probably best forgotten. I remember the various springtimes. One Easter during my high school years when it snowed in Peoria. This is my 15th Easter at Redeemer, and I especially remember the various baptisms that have taken place on this day. And I remember it was Easter Sunday 3 years ago that we announced that we had reached an agreement to purchase this property in Highwood. So many thoughts and memories washing over on a day like this. But I've never stood on this side of a camera with all of you on that side for a celebration of Easter Sunday. And I bet we'll never forget it, nor will our children. Yet through all of the changes and chances of this life, as the prayer from Compline puts it, the message of Easter is both ancient and fresh and ever powerful to our lives in the present moment, perhaps especially today. This has been an unusual week for me. I've missed two of our key Holy Week services as I provided some care to my parents in a very difficult time that they're facing. And I've really been grateful for the prayers, and I want to let you know this is not related to COVID, but just aging. I'm grateful for the team of leaders that we have here who carry on in superb fashion, especially Amanda, and now Ethan, our new deacon, as he comes on board. The work of the church is always a team effort, and the good news of the resurrection is not held in private, but shared in generous fashion. Hallelujah. Even as we think about Easter over the years in our lives and the memories overwhelm, it's important to ask what we need to know about Jesus' resurrection this year. What is it that we want to hear? What is it that we need to hear and to celebrate? You know, each gospel account has its own perspective on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And these are important narratives, and I think it's important to take them each on their own merit, to see what each gospel writer and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit wants to share with us. We have in our reading today Matthew chapter 28. Parts of it read a lot like Mark, but the ending is all Matthew with his own perspective and insight. Whatever the gospel version that we're reading, the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus are good news, great news, tremendous news, and our world needs to hear it today. That good news is summarized by Peter in Acts chapter 10. The life and the mission of Jesus, his ministry, his passion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his expected return. It's his self-sacrifice on our behalf and God's affirmation of that offering, made once for all, that forms the heart of the good news of the gospel's message to us in each and every generation. Peter declares in his sermon, "We didn't just hear about this. We saw it. We were there. And we declare it to you." The gospel, the good news that the world wants to hear, is centered in the life of Jesus, his death, and as we celebrate today, his resurrection. With the threat of illness and death all around us in this global pandemic, I think the church generally has pretty well understood how to connect that to the lament and suffering of Holy Week. I wasn't too hard for Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, the waiting of Holy Saturday. But perhaps we've been wondering, how can we relate it to the joys of Easter? What possible connection can we find in this age of threatened and real loss? Well, the truth is that in this time of uncertainty and anxiety, the good news of the resurrection is all the more pertinent and all the more real. Against the backdrop of the many who are suffering, those who have already died and will die, the powerful good news of the empty tomb has a particular resonance. It's in times just like this, over 2,000 years, that Jesus' resurrection is most needed and most relevant. So our opportunity today is to see that that's really the case. The resurrection invites us to see and to embrace a new reality. The resurrection invites us to see and embrace a new reality. I don't mean that just in a metaphorical sense, because people like to use the term resurrection in that way, but I'm saying in truth, the resurrection of Jesus has opened up for us new ways of being, new ways of understanding. It's given truly new life. Because in the resurrection, we see the power of God at work. We see the promise of God fulfilled. And we experience a release from the grip of sin and brokenness over our lives as we embrace resurrection faith. This is the never-changing good news that is always bringing hope to our ever-changing situations. Again, this is the never-changing good news that's always bringing hope to our ever-changing situations. The empty tomb is not only a first-century reality, something that could only make sense in that time and place and culture. It's for all times and all places and all peoples. It is always fresh, always ready to meet us where we are with hope, and always able to transform our dire circumstances if we will be open to seeing and embracing this new reality. Why do the women come to the tomb on Sunday morning? Matthew doesn't tell us. But we can assume they were in grief. They wanted to be near the body of Jesus, perhaps to pray, perhaps to continue their vigil. I mean, this is the kind of thing we do when someone dies and we have a visitation or a wake. We sit with the body of the loved one as a way of coming to terms with the death. And it's why those who never have that opportunity, who lose the ones they love in war or bombings or plane crashes, those kinds of terrible things, they take much longer to process grief, sometimes a whole life, as they work toward a place of healing. I find interesting what New Testament scholar Grant Osborne has said about this particular thing, this passage, because he interprets the motive of the women through the angel's message, in which he hears, Grant Osborne hears, a definite tone of rebuke. Osborne says the angel basically tells them, stop it. And I want to read what he has written. He says, you are merely seeking a corpse, but he is not here. He has risen just as he said, and as you failed to note, by the way. Their ongoing search is fruitless, for they only want to sit opposite the tomb and be in the presence of the crucified corpse. Jesus had told them many times that his death would end in victory, but they had not understood. The angel invites the women to see where Jesus had been, but no longer. This is the whole point of the rolling away of the stone, and I love the detail that the angel just sits on it. This is not for Jesus' benefit. It's for ours, so that we can enter and see and believe. Later, Jesus would go to Galilee to meet with his disciples so they could see him. Jesus' resurrection declares mightily that there is now a new world underway, a remaking of the world that was broken, and we're called to see it, to realize it, and embrace it. It's now possible to know freedom, to know forgiveness, to know the healing of relationships, to know the restoration of things considered lost, and through resurrection faith, to know the hope and promise of the new reality that can be brought into every situation that we face. We're living in a situation now that's totally new to us. We don't know where it's headed. We don't know how long it will take. Economists are now saying that the world on the other side of this pandemic will look very little like what we have known before. They're calling it a black swan, something rare that changes everything. Easter morning rings with the good news of hope. That's why we ring bells. That even now, even in this time, resurrection reality can be seen and known. And as we embrace it, it will do its work of restoring and healing and proclaiming promise as it has done in every age. Ronald Rollheiser puts it in personal terms. He says, crises of every kind will find us. But these crises enter our lives not just as challenges to us to retain our balance and stability, but as invitations to stretch our hearts and minds. Every crisis includes within itself an invitation for us to move from being good people to becoming great people. The resurrection also invites us to live in a new way. So first to see and embrace, and then to live in a new way. The angel's invitation to the women to see was also a commission to them to tell what they had seen. And by the way, they were told to do it quickly. There was an urgency for them to share what they now knew to be true, that Jesus is alive. They were placed into service. They were transformed into messengers of the resurrection. Their lives would never be the same, and the way they lived would totally change. Theologian Wolfhard Pannenberg once explained why people have trouble accepting the resurrection. He said, the evidence for Jesus' resurrection is so strong that nobody would question it except for two things. First, it is very unusual. But secondly, if you believe it happened, you have to change the way you live. As the women are running to share the news, they encounter the risen Jesus and they fall at his feet to worship him. This is something new, actually, that we see here. Because what we have for the most part in the Gospels is that people worship God, God the Father, and they follow Jesus. Now it's made clear to them that he truly is God with us and worthy to be worshiped. Resurrection life is marked by worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all that we're called to do, the work of being the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus in the world, is rooted, sustained, and given effect as we worship at the feet of the risen Christ. Out of that experience of encountering Jesus in worship, the women are told by him to announce to his brothers and sisters that he will meet them in Galilee. What are they told to declare? One, that Jesus is alive, and he's going to meet them. But secondly, he calls them brothers, and some see in this brothers and sisters. He has forgiven them their faithlessness already. They're scattering. And he's told them, truly, you are my family. There are many sermons in this, but basically the women are an example for how we are to live in the light of the resurrection. We are to worship, we're to share the good news that Jesus is alive, and we're to be agents of reconciliation. The resurrection has many gifts. I really appreciated a text that Bishop Ken sent out to pastors this morning, and I want to read just a little bit of it for you, because these are some of the gifts. Life for the lifeless, hope for the hopeless, honor for the shamed, beauty for the corrupted, faith for the faithless, comfort for the afflicted, family for the lonely, rest for the weary, glory for the diminished, joy for the joyless, generosity for the grasping. These are some of the gifts, the rich gifts. And the way we're to live is to share those gifts, to pass them on. One of the things that happens in early April is that Rwanda remembers the terrible 100 days of slaughter in the genocide in 1994. And I mention it because of our close connection to Rwanda. And they have rebuilt, and the church has done its work, really around the reality of the resurrection. What has the church in Rwanda done? It's worshiped. It's brought the gifts of worship and sacraments to people. It's offered forgiveness. It's called people to live in unity. It's been an agent of reconciliation. On this very unusual Easter morning, people are straining to hear something good. I mean, aren't you? I mean, you turn on the TV or your social media or whatever. How much good is there right now out there? We're not hearing a lot of it. But people long for that. They long to know that they're loved. They long to be encouraged that what is broken will be healed, that there's hope for what is lost, including those that have succumbed to this dreaded virus around the world. This is the opportunity and calling for resurrection people to live in a new way through the power of the Spirit. And the more that we know the risen Jesus, the more we are able to be the people He desires for us to be, especially in this situation. Tim Keller said, the more we know Him, the more we grow into the power of the resurrection. I like that. There's one other thing I just want to point out, and that is the resurrection transforms fear into joy. Now, this is already featured in a number of our sermons over the last weeks, is this whole issue of fear. The topic of fear, how natural it is, but also how we don't need to live in its grip. It seems that without fail, throughout the Scriptures, when angelic messengers appear or God shows up, the first words are, don't be afraid. And that's precisely because the natural response is to be terrified. I mean, look what happened to the tough Roman soldiers guarding the tomb. They shook in their boots, then they just fainted away. Fear is a response to the things we don't understand, things we can't control, things that threaten our existence, things that are totally out of place. The angel says, don't be afraid. Stop it. Jesus tells the women, do not be afraid. And then how are they described in the light of what they're hearing? They're described as afraid, yet filled with joy. There's so much fear around us right now, and it makes perfect sense. We face something deadly we don't understand, that we can't control, that threatens everything that we hold dear. Yet on this Easter morning, as we declare that Christ is risen, we can know fear transformed into joy. We don't have to cower in fear. We don't have to shut out the world in denial. We can face things knowing that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is risen, having authority over all things. Perfect love casts out all fear, and there is no more perfect love for us than when we see the cross and the empty tomb. New Testament scholar Greg Sterling was reflecting on this week, and he said the significance of the resurrection came to him not through all of his scholarly work necessarily, or nor the time that he has spent at Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, but he said the significance of it came to him at the grave of his mother, as her corpse was being lowered into the ground. He said, I asked myself, do I believe in the resurrection? And he said, I do. I believe for the sake of my mother. I believe for the sake of my family. I believe for the sake of my friends. I believe for the sake of all those who have and will die as a result of COVID-19. I believe that there is joy beyond suffering. I believe that there is relationship beyond separation. And I believe that there is life beyond death. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.